Turn, if you will, to Revelation chapter 2, and then we'll go back. Oh, man, I hate this subject, but it is just in my face. And as a result of that, it's in yours. I don't even like saying that name. Jezebel. You know? There have been some evil, wicked women in human history. Bloody Mary was one. And there have been others. But I think Jezebel's right up there at the top of the list. She really is. She's right up there at the top of the list. And I believe that's why God allowed her to go the way she went, too. Her demise was proportionate to her evil. In Revelation chapter 2, in verse 18, it says, "Unto the angel of the church of Thyatira." That word means perfume and sacrifice. Okay? Now, many of my contemporaries immediately, "Well, this is the Catholic Church." I just can't go there. Every church in here can't be the Catholic Church. Okay? It just can't. So I can't go there with this. I'm going somewhere else with this one. And I believe that, and the Holy Spirit's given me peace about that as well. Because the old writers didn't really get a didn't see this. Because the old writers, I don't believe, experienced it. And I'm talking about the older guys, like Matthew Henry and those guys. They didn't see what we have that started in the early 1800s. Started in the early 1800s, and it is blossoming now. I believe Thyatira is more a church prophetically of right here, right now. Okay, then I am going to say that it goes back to where even Schofield says it's from 500 to 1500 A.D. However, I'm not going to argue that there weren't problems with what was going on in this church early on. I just don't believe it was at the extent or to the magnitude than it is today. And I think today is the culmination of it. I think it started then, very small. So small it was hardly noticeable. Wasn't noticed by any of the early church fathers in the sense that they wrote about it. But I believe that it's just straight in our faces today. And here in Revelation chapter 2, verse 18, it says, "And unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, These things saith the Son of God." It's interesting. I realize that we know who wrote this to the other churches that we've already mentioned, but here there's an emphasis placed on this. Who is actually addressing them? There's an emphasis placed on who's addressing this church. Okay? The Lord emphasizes the fact that these things saith who? The Son of God. Okay? This is Christ. "These things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass." We don't see that Son of God in his earthly ministry. In his earthly ministry, we saw the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. This is a totally different vision of him here. "Who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire." Fiery eyes. Okay? Fiery eyes. Usually when somebody has fiery eyes, are they happy with you? No. No, they're not. They're not happy with you. And his feet are like fine brass. And he says, I know thy works, which he says to most of these churches. In other words, he's going to recognize them here for their orthodoxy. I know thy works and charity and service and faith and thy patience and thy works and the last to be more than the first, which is interesting because they took an attitude. The last to be more than the first means they weren't a church that respected persons. Okay? Now, with anything, can we take anything to an extreme? Of course we can. We can take anything to an extreme. And here he, the last thing he mentions here, and the last to be more than the first, and I think what this church has done is it's taken its this suffering or this toleration to a pendulum spike, which you cannot do. You cannot do. And here he says, I know thy works and thy charity and thy service and faith and patience and thy works and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest, allows, tolerates, permits that woman. Can't get away from that verse, y'all. And this is not spiritualized. Okay? This is not spiritualized. This is not men. This is a woman in the church that is being permitted, tolerated, suffered, and allowed. Okay? And it doesn't just say, you're suffering a woman which calleth herself a prophetess to teach and to seduce my servants. What does it say? You're suffering a woman and then uses a name. Now, I don't believe this woman's name was Jezebel. However, I do believe that God gives her this name to point us to exactly what she was doing in the church. That's the best way to do it. Take me to someone who calleth herself a prophetess, and I'm going to tell you right now, Jezebel was a prophetess of Baal. She was. She was a Zidonian princess priestess. Okay? Of the highest order. Her father was the priest of Baal worship in that entire region, Ethbaal. And here we have a woman in the church described like unto her. Okay? So we have a Jezebel in the church. And in order to understand the Jezebel in the church, or this age of Jezebel in the church, we got to go back to 1 Kings, okay? And we have to look at Jezebel. Now, last week, we got through where I believe the start of that was, and that was with none other than who? King Solomon, who also married a Zidonian princess, who also turned his heart away from God, who also, it says, and he went after, because the female side of Baal, Baal's the male, the female side is Ashtaroth. And it said he went after Ashtaroth. Wow.
went after. I tried all I could to dig through that definition and give Solomon some kind of green pass. You know, I thought, well, maybe he just let them worship there, and maybe he just, I did. I literally bantered back and forth about this. Maybe he just allowed her, no, it said he went after. He participated in the worship with them. He did, in order to make them happy. Yeah, in order to make them happy. So here we go. Go back to 1 Kings chapter 16. Because in order for us to look at the Jezebel here in the church, we've got to look at the Jezebel in 1 Kings chapter 16 and nail down who she was, what she was, and what she did. Okay? Verse 28 of chapter 16. So Omri slept with his fathers and was buried in Samaria, and Ahab his son reigned in his stead. And in the 38th year of Asa king of Judah began Ahab the son of Omri to reign over Israel. And Ahab the son of Omri reigned over Israel and Samaria 22 years. That is a lifetime. That is a generation, okay? That's a long time for Israel to be in up to here with what? Idolatry, particularly Baal worship. And there was a reason for that. There was a reason for that, okay? And Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. Now, you're going to hear that again with other kings, but he's now going to the top of the bad boy list, okay? And I don't want to lessen it by making it sound like that, because it's not a good thing to be on this list, particularly where it says, and he did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. And it came to pass, and here's what it says, and it came to pass as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam. In other words, had he just continued the worship of Jeroboam, of the calves, that actually they worshiped Jehovah through the calves. Wrong. I'm not giving them a green pass on this. It's idolatry. They've made an image, okay? They've made an image where God said, you don't even make images of me, okay? And that's what Jeroboam did. But it says, it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. But here's where Ahab took that next step into wickedness. Here's what took Israel into that next step of idolatry. This is what brought Israel to the point where they were burning their firstborn on the arms of the altar of Moloch and Baal, okay? And he took to wife Jezebel, the daughter of, and look what's in this king's name, Ethbaal, okay? He even put his god in his name. And he was a priest before he was a king, according to history. And that's according to Josephus. And he took to wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, the king of the Zidonians, and went and served Baal, and worshipped him. And what was it that led him, instructed him, swayed him, convinced him, won him over? His wife, Jezebel. Okay? And it says, and went and served Baal and worshiped him. Now, he didn't even stop there. And he reared up an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. And Ahab made a grove. And Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings that were before him. All the kings of Israel that were before him. He did more to provoke God than even Solomon did. Okay? And what was at the root of his provoking God more than any of the other kings? Jezebel. At the end of the day, you can't make it any more or any less.
It's because of Jezebel. You can say, well, he's at fault. Yeah, he's at fault. But I'm telling you right now, the evil that spread through all of Israel like a cancer came from Jezebel. Because it wasn't there. It wasn't there before this. In his days, verse 34, did Hiel the Bethlehemite build Jericho? Go back to Joshua chapter 6, real quick. Real quick. Let's just look at this. Joshua. Where did I write? I wrote the wrong passage down. No. I didn't?
It's verse 26.
Okay. Verse 24. Then Gideon built an altar there. Oh, I'm in Judges.
That would explain it, wouldn't it?
I'm in the wrong book. I saw the J. You know, the doctor keeps sending me this text, it's time for your eye appointment. And I keep going, nah, it's not. I feel so sorry for Jennifer. She sits right in front of me when I'm singing. And I know you hear me sing the wrong line on them hymns probably 100 times. I feel sorry for you. Thank you for tolerating that. And I'm going to blame it on my glasses. Joshua chapter 6, verse 26. And Joshua adjured them at that time, saying, okay, cursed be the man before the Lord. That's not a good thing, right? Cursed be the man before the Lord. I don't want to be cursed before the Lord. Cursed be the man before the Lord that riseth up and buildeth this city Jericho. And then Joshua makes a prophecy. A prophecy then comes out of his mouth. Because God already knows that it's going to happen. Even though Joshua doesn't. Okay? God already knows it's going to happen. And he says, he shall lay the foundation thereof in his firstborn. You know what Hiel did? When he laid the foundation, he sacrificed his firstborn to Baal. That's what he did. And every single commentator I've ever read agrees with me on that. He sacrificed his firstborn. Cursed be the man before the Lord that riseth up and buildeth this city Jericho. He shall lay the foundation thereof in his firstborn, and in his youngest son shall he set up the gates for it. And if it wasn't bad enough what he did when he put the foundations in, when he finished the gates, he sacrificed another son. Jezebel. Now, Hiel's going to burn in hell for what he did for all of eternity. He's there now. I believe that with all of my heart. But I'm going to tell you right now, it goes back to verse 31, that he took to wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Zidonians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him. Let's finish that verse. He laid the foundation thereof, and he even names the boy, Abiram, his firstborn, and set up the gates, therefore, in his youngest son, Segub, according to the word of the Lord, notice, which he spake by Joshua, the son of Nun. Wow. Guess what, though? Them two boys are in heaven, and so are all these babies that are aborted. You know, heaven's going to be full. There's going to be a multitude. You think, well, not too many people are getting saved. Plenty of people are getting aborted. And they're going straight into the kingdom. And it'll be full of them. I actually believe that might be one of the multitudes in Revelation that says, when are you going to avenge our blood? Maybe. Speculation, not Bible. Let's keep reading. Just go over to 17, verse 1. I'm thankful for a man of God. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said to Ahab, and he didn't do this through a text or TikTok or YouTube, okay? How did he say it to Ahab? To his face, okay? To his face. Said to Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these 3 years, but according to my word. And he left. And guess what? There wasn't dew or rain for 3 years. Now, we complain in the summer. I do too, when we have about a month or so of dry weather and it starts getting really dry, don't we? Can you imagine 3 years? I can't even imagine that. 3 years, not one, not even, what does it say? Dew. Not even dew. The dust is going to be so thick in the air, you can eat it. They're going to be starving. People are starving and dying. There's nothing to eat. There's no crops. Look at 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 1. And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go show thyself to Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. And Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab. There was sore famine in Samaria. Now look at verse 4. No, let's just read them all. I don't want to skip one. Go back to verse 1 again. And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go, show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain on the earth. And Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab, and there was sore famine in Samaria. And Ahab called Obadiah, which was the governor of his house. Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. Can you imagine being that guy? He was the Lord over Ahab's house, but he was a God-fearing man. Because remember now, there are 7,000 in Israel that haven't what? That haven't bowed the knee to Baal. Now, I don't know how he pulled that off, being the governor over at his house, but here's what he did. For it was so when who? Ahab? No. For it was so when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord. You see, once she got in, she cut off the prophets of the Lord. What does that mean, cut off? Does that mean you just delete them off of your Facebook account or delete their posts or not allow them to post anymore? No. Cut off back then meant exactly what it meant. Probably they lost their heads. I don't know. She killed as many of the prophets as she could get her hands on. We'll get to that in today's age here before too long, but probably not tonight. And it says, now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly, for it was so when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water. This is a good guy. This is a good guy. And this is an evil, murderous woman who has one goal in mind. Promoting her religion. Why'd she kill the prophets? Because she brought 400 of her own in from her own country and tried to kill all of God's prophets that were there in an effort to stamp out completely the worship of Jehovah by the wife of Jehovah. Satan's been trying to stamp them out forever. It started way back in the garden. For it was so when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water. Look at verse 13. Obadiah reminds Ahab, I just want to get across the point here that this, or what am I talking about? Obadiah reminds Elijah that it's Jezebel who did what? Slew the prophets. Was it not told, my Lord, what I did when Jezebel slew the prophets of the Lord? How I hid 100 men of the Lord's prophets and by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water? I don't want to read this whole story because it takes so much time, but this guy did not want to go back and tell Ahab he'd seen Elijah because he said, he's going to kill me. He's going to kill me. And Elijah said, nope, go tell him. You'll be all right. You'll be all right. And he reminds him of that. He said, look, I've done good. I'm not a bad guy here. I don't want to die. That's basically what he's saying. I don't want to die. But the point I want to make with that particular verse is this, is that she is the one that instituted and carried this out. Okay. Look at 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse, we'll start at 17. And it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah that Ahab said unto him, art thou he that troubleth Israel? And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord and that thou hast followed Balaam. And let me tell you something. Who is at the root of that? Jezebel. Jezebel. He followed her. She's the one that killed the prophets. And all of this that's happening right now is a direct result of his taking her to wife. Now look at 1 Kings chapter 19. I had to weed through here because I don't want to read this whole thing. It's quite a story though. I mean, I've read it like two or three times, but I don't have the time to read through the whole thing. Now, verse 1, chapter 19. And Ahab told, who's running the kingdom, y'all? Yeah. Who's running the kingdom? Wifey poo, I got something to tell you. Okay, here he goes. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done. And with all how he had slain all the... Now, I didn't get into the story of all the prophets being killed, but Elijah waxes the prophets, her prophets, her guys, okay? And he kills them with the sword, okay? He has him and the people, they kill those prophets with the sword. So Ahab goes back and tells Jezebel. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and with all how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah saying, so let the gods do to me and more also if I make not thy life as one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life. He ran like a scared rabbit from an evil woman. And I'll be honest with you. I might have too. Because this woman was ruthless. Ruthless. Absolutely. When he told her that, she said, I'm going to do to you exactly the same thing. Look down at verse 18, chapter 19. This is, yet I have left me, 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which has not kissed him or her. At the root of Israel's problem here, it is Jezebel and a weak-kneed king who gives her anything she wants, permits, allows, suffers, and tolerates her in the kingdom. Look at 1 Kings chapter 21. I'm not going to read this whole chapter. You all know the story of Naboth, right? You know the story of the vineyard. Ahab wants this vineyard. Jezebel says, I'll get it for you. And she murders a man to get this for him. She is willing to do anything to get what she wants. I'm trying to characterize her for you. Because she's in churches today. This is the age of Jezebel. Right here, right now. We are in it up to our eyeballs in America. Up to our eyeballs. That's why it's a good thing to know who she is and what she's about. She kills Naboth. Look at 21. Let's start in verse 17 to get some context.
Because we're going to wrap up the Old Testament part of her
and not get to the other part.
I don't know. 1 Kings chapter 21, starting 17.
And the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, arise and go down to meet Ahab, the king of Israel, which is in Samaria. Behold, he is in the vineyard of Naboth. Because after all, whose vineyard is it now? Present from his wife. He is in the vineyard. But notice who God recognizes as the owner of the vineyard. It's Naboth's vineyard. He is in the vineyard of Naboth, whither he is going down to possess it. And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, thus saith the Lord, hast thou killed and also taken possession? Who did the killing on this one?
But he is connected to it because he is allowed, permitted, suffered, and tolerated what's going on. That makes him a willing accomplice,
especially in the eyes of a just God. A willing accomplice. Arise and go down to meet Ahab, king of Syria, king of Israel, which is in Samaria. Behold, he's in the vineyard of Naboth, whither he goeth down to possess it. And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, thus saith the Lord, hast thou killed and also taken possession? And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, thus saith the Lord, in the place where dogs lick the blood of Naboth, shall dogs lick thy blood, even thine. Man, when God speaks like this, you know those old commercials when E.F. Hutton speaks? Everybody listens. Let me tell you something. When God says something like this, we ought to be listening. And Ahab said to Elijah, hast thou found me, O my enemy? Who is his enemy, y'all? Who is his enemy? Jezebel is. His wife is his enemy. He just don't know it. Boy, you talk about a lack of discernment, huh? Yeah. Hast thou found me, O mine enemy? And he answered, I have found thee. Notice what he says. Because thou hast sold thy, and I'm going to put a word in here. What is our self? What is you? It ain't that physical body that we're there. What is it? It's your soul. That is who you are. That is you. It is your soul. Mind, will, and emotions. It is the soul. That is who you are. This is just the house. When he says this here, in this verse, when he says, thou hast sold thyself, do this, do this. What do we always hear? That saying, somebody sold their... Yeah. Because that's what this is saying. He's saying, because thou hast sold thy soul to work evil in the sight of the Lord. And my question to you is this. Who did he sell it to, y'all? Who did he sell it to? Jezebel. That's who he sold his soul to. He sold his soul to an evil woman, and in the process, he sold his soul to Lucifer. Because Baal was a deity of Lucifer. Thou hast sold thy soul to work evil in the sight of the Lord. Behold, I will bring evil upon thee. But I want you to notice something here, because at the root of this, we still, I'm not going to give Ahab a green pass, okay? Because he made the choice, but he sold his soul to something. And what is that? It's Jezebel. Behold, I will bring evil upon thee, and will take away thy posterity, and will cut off from Ahab him that pisseth against the wall, and him that is shut up and left in Israel. In other words, not a single son of his will live. God's going to cut his... What's the worst thing that can happen to a Jewish person? Why did God set it up to where if a man died, then his brother would raise up seed? What is the worst thing that could happen to a Jewish person? Is that in their, particularly in their culture and in their eyes, that is to be cut off. That is to have no further posterity beyond you. Your family, your name is done. And God says to Ahab, your name is done. And will make thy house like the house of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, and like the house of Baasha the son of Ahijah, for the provocation wherewith thou hast provoked me to anger and made Israel to sin. Does he leave it at that? No, sir. And of Jezebel. Also spake the Lord, saying, the dogs shall eat Jezebel by the wall of Jezreel. Him that dieth of Ahab in the city, the dogs shall eat, and him that dieth in the field shall the fowls of the air eat. But there was none like unto Ahab, which did sell his soul to work wickedness in the sight of the Lord. And why did it all happen? The verse answers the question. What does it say there? Whom Jezebel, his wife, stirred up. And he did very abominably in following idols according to all the things, as did the Amorites, whom the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. Now, and it came to pass when Ahab heard those words that he rent his clothes. He did. And put sackcloth upon his flesh and fasted and lay in sackcloth and went softly. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, see how Ahab humbleth himself before me? Because he humbleth himself before me. God doesn't say, I'm going to let him off the hook. Okay? He doesn't. This is a repentance of Esau. All right? I'm really sorry I got caught. This is a humbling of Esau. I believe the two are one and the same. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, see how Ahab humbleth himself before you. Because he humbleth himself before you, I will not bring the evil in his, what, days. But in his son's days will I bring evil upon his house. In other words, I'm going to judge Ahab, but he's not going to have to watch his sons die and their flesh be eaten by dogs and fowls. Okay? But he's still going to be judged. He's still going to be judged. And he is. Look over at verse 34 of chapter 22. And a man drew a bow. And a certain man drew a bow. A man who God chose. I believe God chose a man to draw a bow in this battle and simply say, wonder if I can hit them guys right there. No clue whether or not he could get that arrow that far. No clue which one he was going to hit. He just went, I'm going to launch one at him. Listen, some of those Fred Bear shots I wonder about sometimes, don't you, Will? Some of those stories of Fred Bear's archery shots, I think, have been stretched a little, okay? Because it's a bow, and it's wood, and it's an arrow, and there's wind, and there's all kinds of things acting on the physics of that arrow flying through the air. And once it gets out so far, I wouldn't take a shot at a deer over 40 yards, and I could hit a golf ball at 20 with my compound bow back in the day when I was shooting competition archery. But I wouldn't take a shot past 40 yards because I wasn't sure of it. And this guy wasn't either. He just went, phew. Who shot the arrow? God did. Who did it hit? Ahab. And a certain man drew a bow, adventure, and smote the king of Israel between the joints of the harness. Wherefore he said unto the driver of his chariot, turn thine hand and carry me out of the host, for I am wounded. He knew he was mortally wounded. And the battle increased that day, and the king was stayed up in the chariot against the Assyrians. They propped him up so the Assyrians would think the king was still alive. Because when the king falls, the army falls apart. Cut off the head of the snake. Stunned. And it says, and died at even, and the blood ran out of the wound into the midst of the chariot, and there went a proclamation throughout all the host about the going down of the sun, saying, every man to his city, every man to his own country, the king is dead. So the king died and was brought to Samaria, and they buried him, the king, in Samaria. And one washed the chariot in the pool of Samaria. And what does it say? And the dogs licked up his blood, and they washed his armor according to the word of the Lord which he spake. Now the rest of the acts of Ahab and all that he did, and the ivory house which he made, and all the cities that he built, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel? So Ahab slept with his fathers, and Ahaziah his son reigned in his stead. Go now to 2 Kings chapter 9. I don't want to read all nine of those chapters. I just want to go to Jehu. 2 Kings chapter 9, verse 6. And he arose and went into the house, and he poured the oil on his head, and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, O God of Israel, I have anointed thee king over the people of the Lord, even over Israel. Thou shalt smite the house of Ahab thy master, that I may avenge the blood of my servant. Notice what God remembers. He remembers all those prophets she killed. I'm not sure, but all of Ahab's sons would be possibly whose sons? Jezebel's? Okay. Bible doesn't tell us that. But it doesn't mention any other wives anywhere. Do you remember, Pastor, did it ever mention any other wives anywhere? Just Jezebel. Thou shalt smite the house of Ahab thy master, that I may avenge the blood of my servants the prophets and the blood of all the servants of the Lord at the hand of Jezebel. The woman in the book of Revelation is compared to this woman. All right? Keep that up here. Because she's called Jezebel. For the whole house of Ahab shall perish, and I will cut off from Ahab him that pisseth against the wall, and him that is shut up and left in Israel, and I will make the house of Ahab like the house of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, and like the house of Baasha the son of Ajai, and the dogs shall eat Jezebel in the portion of Jezreel, and there shall be none to bury her. And he opened the door and fled. Verse 30. And when Jehu was come to Jezreel, Jezebel heard of it. Somebody help me with this next part here. Why'd she do this? Ladies, can you help me? You can't help me because you're not Jezebels. It says, and Jezebel heard of it, and she painted her face and tired her head and looked out at a window. I'm sorry, but I'm lost there. I'm lost there. I don't. Was she preparing for her burial and wanted to look good dead? Because she knows what Jehu is coming for. Does she not? Yeah, she does. Or does she think that she can possibly get another man? Boy, there's one to think about, isn't there? She's doing one of two things. I'm either going to entice this man or I'm going to die. Might as well look good either way. So she does. Speculation again, please. Because I can't, God doesn't explain to us why she did that. And as Jehu entered in at the gate, she said, had Zimri peace who slew his master? It was a sarcastic statement. I don't have time to get into it tonight. It's sarcasm. At her end, she's still biting out, lashing out. Because she knows he's coming to kill her. And he lifted up his face to the window and said, who is on my side? Who? And there looked out to him two or three eunuchs. They were the ones that took care of her. And he said, throw her down. So they threw her down. And some of her blood was sprinkled on the wall and on the horses. And he trod her underfoot. Man, that ain't no way to go. Whew. And when he was come in, he did eat and drink and said, go see now this cursed woman and bury her, for she is a king's daughter. He still has a little bit of protocol there, cultural. She is a king's daughter. And they went to bury her, but they found no more of her than her skull and feet and the palms of her hands. Wherefore they came again and told him, and he said, this is the word of the Lord which he spake by his servant Elijah the Tishbite, saying, in the portion of Jezreel shall dogs eat the flesh of Jezebel. Hands that do wicked things, feet that run to evil, and a mouth that spouts evil, and the dogs wouldn't even eat them things. Yeah. They ate everything else and left the part of her that was the worst. They went to bury her, but they found no more of her than the skull and the feet and the palms of her hands. Wherefore they came again and told him, and he said, this is the word of the Lord which he spake by the servant Elijah the Tishbite, saying, in the portion of Jezreel shall dogs eat the flesh of Jezebel, and the carcass of Jezebel shall be as dung upon the face of the field in the portion of Jezreel, so that they shall not say, this is Jezebel. There ain't no worshiping her now. turn to Revelation chapter 2. Oh, you all are going to be mad at me when I do this. And you know what I'm going to do. Because I'm going to say, we're out of time. But I'm going to leave you with this. And unto the angel of the church of Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet like fine brass. I know thy works, and charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou suffereth, allow, permit, tolerate. That woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophet, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. The woman of 1 Kings is the woman.
Let me change that word to something plural. Is the women who are preaching in the churches of America today.
Amen. And it didn't start yesterday. We'll do that next week. I will say this. You know why the Methodist Convention is gone?
Jezebels! Mm-hmm. A whole pile of them, because I watched the video of the convention.
Yes, sir.
And the Southern Baptists are gonna vote this summer.
Yeah.
Let's see. See Jezebel there.
Well, I don't think if we'll see Jezebel there. We will. The question is, has the cup of iniquity been full yet for the vote to swing? Because the day Jezebel reigns in the Southern Baptist Convention,
that name comes off that sign. I will not be associated with Jezebel.